This is Tuesday, March 12th, 2013. The hosts of Epic Questions give me some epic answers. Blizzard developers aren't done with interviews just yet, and I'll explain why I'm red in the face over green fire. This is Realm Maintenance number 30.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, heroes and raid finders, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. I'd like to welcome those of you that just started listening to the show as of last week's 5.2 launch episode, and a big thanks to everyone who gave their feedback and support of the show through Twitter and other channels. It was a heck of a ride, and I'm looking forward to giving you more in the weeks to come, even if it is in smaller doses. Speaking of which, guys, you need to listen to Convert to Raid this week just for the Thunderforged intro alone. I'm just saying. Right now, though, let's get the show rolling as I talk about an interesting tweet that may keep your alts and spirits grounded longer than you think. Here is the rolling restart. When will characters below level 90 be able to fly in Pandaria? Probably never, according to a tweet from community manager Zarim made on March 6th. Zarim went on to say that while the dev team understands people want to be able to level their alts faster in Pandaria, quote, "The zones weren't designed to let you pop in and out trivially wherever you need, not the best solution to helping alts," end quote. Now honestly, I have no problem with this, and I agree with Zarim. Further responses to Zarim's tweet mentioned the difficulty in leveling an ult in Pandaria when level 90 characters can swoop in from the skies and gank them. So, first off, we're talking about PvP realms here, right? So there's the obvious point to be made that if you choose to make a character on a PvP realm, there are the consequences that come with it. Leveling in a PvP realm requires a different style of gameplay. Most importantly, it's helpful to have friends who can help protect you when you're ganked. It's just not something you can do on your own. That's just the nature of PvP realms. Now, it is interesting that Pandaria may never have flying for alts below 90, since this is a change in stance from how flying was handled in previous expansion zones. Still, with more emphasis being put on the war in Warcraft during Mists of Pandaria, now's as good a time as any to make the point clear by keeping that element of danger in the game on PvP realms. Now, there is one part of this Twitter chain of conversation where I don't agree with Zarim. @StrobeHitman asked him, "How about actually letting us fly on corpse runs? What are the negative ramifications to that?" Zarim replied, "Dying is supposed to feel somewhat penalizing, haha." So, alright, I get that to a point. Heck, I remember the days in much earlier MMOs when dying actually meant a potential loss of gear or even experience points. But I'm still going to disagree here. When characters die in any Northrend or Cataclysm zone, we have the ability to fly back to our bodies. This is really important if death occurs on an area that's difficult to access without flight. So, why the change for Pandaria? I'm guessing it may be related to world bosses being reintroduced to the game to counter the possible Zerg Rush philosophy of throwing players at the boss till it dies. I could also understand it being a counter to similar tactics used in what world PvP may exist in Pandaria, mostly on PvP realms. I think a compromise can be reached here, though. I don't think it would be difficult to put a debuff on spirits that prevents them from using flight after being killed by a world boss or another player, but still allowing them to fly back to their body if killed by some other means. It's not that I'm a Care Bear and think there shouldn't be penalties for death, mind you. It's just that the death penalty in Pandaria is inconsistent with other zones currently in the game, and that can cause some confusion and frustration, especially for newer players. As always, nothing is forever, and the way flying is handled will continue to be tweaked and adjusted as the game moves forward. Speaking of which, let's move forward to the next segment. With the launch of 5.2, there hasn't been a great deal of WoW news, but there's still enough to talk about to go around the world of Warcraft in 80 seconds. Starting today, players will have access to the first section of 5.2 Raid Finder content. As a reminder, you need an item level 490 to participate. Raiders that have already defeated Lei Shen last week will begin their progression through the heroic mode of the Throne of Thunder this week. Good luck to everyone gunning for world first. According to WoWProgress.com, as of March 10th, less than 100 raiding guilds have defeated Lei Shen in the first week, while approximately 11,000 out of close to 40,000 raiding guilds have defeated Jinrock, the first encounter in the raid. As of last week, the ability to auto-follow a character has been disabled in PvP Battlegrounds, likely as a measure to counter the use of bots in that content. Thanks to a clarification from community manager Bashyok, while on the Isle of Thunder, you will only be able to find a Shanze Ritual Stone or Treasure Room Key once per week off any enemy, including rares. It is, however, possible to find additional keys or stones through other sources. Character experience gained via pet battles, a feature just added in 5.2, has recently been hotfixed so that experience gain is somewhat slower than that gained via questing. And finally, lead systems designer Greg Street, aka Ghostcrawler, has posted a series of articles describing the changes made to classes in 5.2 and the reasoning behind those changes. These articles can be found on the 5.2 Roundup page on the official World of Warcraft site. And that's your news. I'll be back with a Podcast of the Week interview after these words from the Chaos Portal podcast.
This week on the Chaos Portal, I'm your host, LeGrayson. With me, I have my interim co-host, Alice.
Hello, listeners to the podcast.
And from all things Azeroth, Medros.
Hey, what am I doing here? Hey, how's it going?
And sometimes, we just don't know where we're at.
Not sure what you mean, sorry.
Catch the full episode 13 on iTunes, Stitcher, or direct from chaosportalshow.com.
When it comes to most podcasts, the personalities of the show play a huge part in determining whether or not someone is going to keep downloading week after week. When it comes to featuring new podcasts that haven't been around for a while, my questions will tend to focus less on the show and more about the podcasters themselves to help you get to know them. A short time before the launch of Patch 5.2, I interviewed the hosts of the Epic Questions podcast to ask them some questions about who they are and what drives their show. How you guys doing?
We are doing pretty good. Just a little nervous, but pretty good.
Yes, we are doing great.
Not a problem. I can understand that. I would say my first 10 podcasts were, you know, still kind of getting my podcast legs. And those first few interviews with hosts from other shows were definitely interesting. And I can remember those nerves from way back when. But really, honestly, we're all just people who play World of Warcraft at the end of the day, right?
That is true.
Well, what I'd like to do is, you know, start how I always start, and I'd like to know the history of the show and how the project got started. Epic, if you want to start off there?
Yeah, definitely. Let's say the history of the show is we just started, I think we published our first episode January 6th of this year, 2013. Just kind of got started with me and Bella talking a lot through Twitter, blogging on her blog. We spent a lot of time talking through Google Hangouts, Skype, just talking about blogging stuff. We always had different perspectives on everything, different perspectives on transmog, different perspectives on how a dungeon should be run, everything. We just got talking, and previously over the years, I've listened to so many podcasts and have always just thought about doing one, but never really knew what to do. So we were always talking to each other, asking each other questions, and it just kind of stemmed from there. It all started with a late night conversation with a couple friends on Vent, and just kind of got encouraged by the one and only Jeppy to actually go ahead and do it. He's like, you guys just need to do it. Run with the idea that you have of answering those questions from the everyday player and just go with it. And just see where it takes you. Don't delay. Don't put it off any longer than you already have. It was over a year I'd had this thought in my head. So he's like, just go and do it. And we started recording, I think, the next week. And there we were. Up at the beginning of the year, we published our first episode.
That's great. Anything you wanted to add to that, Bella?
Well, I thought it was great that, you know, when I met Epic, he's Horde, I'm Alliance, and I was like, oh, this is never going to work. But we discovered that we both have such different perspectives and views on things that, you know, someone would ask me a question and I would say, hey, you know, Epic, what do you think about this? And he would tell me one thing and I'd be like, well, but I really think this. And he's just such a great, you know, person to work with that, yeah, that's how we got our start. But Jeffy really encouraged us along. And I think throughout our few episodes that we've done constantly, I know in my mind, it's, you know, WWJD, what would Jeppy do?
That's a good one.
So true. It's so true.
Because he's just been such an inspiration for us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know on behalf of both Epic and I, we continue to wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, he is getting better, I've heard. I mean, I've seen tweets from him on Twitter, so things are definitely on the up and up.
Yeah, I spoke with him this week, and he wanted to let us know that, you know, we're doing a good job. And I was like, aw, Jeffy.
Well, that's great that he's listening to you guys and that he's still connected to the podcasting community, even as he's on the mend. And I do hope all the best for Jeffy as well. He's a great guy. Along with just, you know, the history of the show and how the project started, sometimes there's a more important question beyond the what and the how, but rather the why. And what I'd like to know, Bella, is why do you want to do podcasting? Why do you want to do a WoW podcast?
Well, I guess, you know, the reason behind that is there are so many podcasts out there. And, you know, both Epic and I are your average everyday gamers. You know, we're not hardcore. We're not, you know, raiding the top of the top, or, you know, we're just regular gamers. And we felt that there was a niche out there that, you know, so many people have questions and they don't want to ask them. You know, I know in my guild, I was always the go-to gal for if a new person had a question and maybe someone, you know, didn't have a lot of patience to want to answer that question. I'd be like, hey, this is where you find this, or this is how you do this, or do you need help with that? And, you know, I'm a really helpful person, and we just want to be there for the community, because it is a great community, and just give another outlet for people who maybe have a question and they don't know where to ask it.
You know, one thing that's kind of interesting about that, and I've heard this on a few different podcasts, is that it seems that as World of Warcraft has gone on, as the game has progressed and we have new people coming into the game or just people trying out new classes, new professions, there's a growing tendency for people to be hesitant to ask for help because they figure if the game's been going on for 7 or 8 years and they suddenly ask a question that comes across as being very noobish, for lack of a better word, then people are going to look at that person and say, oh my gosh, what a freaking noob. Epic, would you say that you've seen that also growing in the guilds and communities that you've been around?
That nails it right on the head. You know, like I see it everywhere. I see it in my own guild chat. You know, people are scared to ask questions. They whisper me instead. They don't ask in guild. People are scared to ask in trade. They're scared to ask in general chat. They're scared to ask on Twitter because people will do that whole LOL noob, you don't know that. But we were all noobs one time. You know, I've been playing for almost 8 years, but I was a noob when I first logged in, and I'm a noob today when I log in. There's still stuff I don't know. You know, one thing, if you listen to any of our shows, I talk about it all the time. I don't know lore. You know, I ask lore questions. But that's the thing, is we're just trying to give that open forum for people to come and ask any question. You know, that's why we try to leave it very open to whatever you want, whatever kind of question you might have. You know, we've had questions about drop rates of items, where to go for tanking advice, where to go for, you know, anything. And it's just one of those things where we may not know the answers, but we've played the game long enough that we can find the answers. And that's where, you know, we do a lot of internet digging, you know, WoWWiki, WoWhead.com, TankSpot, you know, everywhere. We just go wherever we have to go to get those answers because not everybody has those resources or knows about those resources.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as far as the question wise, I definitely agree. I found, like, even just last night, there was a new person in my guild and he was a fresh 90. And he said to me, he goes, are these, first he said in guild chat, he goes, what do I do with these motes of harmony? And no one said anything.
I have seen that question myself, actually, in guild chat.
And I said to him, I whispered to him, and I was like, okay, so this is what they're for, and this is what you use them for. He goes, why didn't anyone tell me that? I was like, well, I'm telling you now. He goes, I really appreciate the time that you took to tell me that, you know, I shouldn't be just destroying them. And I'm like, have you been destroying them the whole time? He goes, no, I've just been sticking them away till I found the right moment to ask that question. I went, oh, phew, because you're going to need those.
Absolutely. Would you say that when it comes to people asking these questions, that a lot of them, are these all players, the most of the questions that you receive, are they coming from players that are relatively new to World of Warcraft, at least as far as you can tell? Or are they just coming from people who have been in the game a significant amount of time and have just been too shy or whatever to ask the question?
I've seen some of the questions we've gotten have come from very seasoned players, and they're asking a little bit more in-depth, deeper discussion questions. I know recently on one of our episodes, we answered a question about what do you do with somebody who is not performing in a heroic or in a raid. We've been asked that question in two different forms by two very veteran players. But then we've also gotten the question from very casual players who have just been asking questions like, why should I use a two-hander over a one-hander? Why should I, you know, Why should I pick up that profession over this other profession? And even us during our shows, we ask each other questions and just kind of, you know, soundboard off each other and go, hey, you know, I never really thought of that. But that's the thing is we encourage everybody out there. If it's a tough question or if you're just trying to stump us, I know some people already know the answers to these questions and they just kind of want to hear our perspective on it. And we're just trying to give anybody, hopefully a good answer. We'd like to refer to them as epic answers. You know, just trying to bring that little extra perspective or make people think a little bit different about stuff.
Bella, if you could just tell me, what kind of WoW player are you and how do you approach the game?
For the Alliance! That's how I approach the game. And I guess I'm sort of a casual, I have a casual side, but I'm also a raider. The guild I'm in the guild Mostly Harmless on the Undermine US server, rocking it for the Alliance. We are a casual but raid guild, but we also do progression. Last night I got my first heroic kill in heroic Garajal. We are progressing rather nicely. Our end goal is to get it all done before the patch drops. So I would be excited if the patch comes like not this week, but next week. That would be super, so we could get more time in there. But, you know, I raid on my Death Knight. I'm just kind of a casual player, but I also raid, so it's nice to do that. I transmog like a crazy person. I have an outfit for every occasion. That's kind of me.
You know, it's funny that you say that you consider yourself a casual player and yet a raider, because everyone has, like, you know, different perspectives or different interpretations of what casual and hardcore is, and you talk very casually about, oh yeah, I just downed heroic Garajal the other day and we're hoping to get everything done by then. Do you know that only less than 1 out of 4 raiders have defeated heroic Garajal?
I actually did not know that. And but that's the only heroic boss I've killed.
The stat man.
It's the only heroic one I've killed. So, you know, I guess it's the mentality of the raid leader that I have. Sure. You know, he's really great, and he tries to make sure that we all get an opportunity and that we all get a chance to experience the content that we want to experience. And so the guild Mostly Harmless has really created a different, I guess you could say, hardcore, but not really raiding experience. Like, yeah, we raid sometimes 2, 3, sometimes 4 nights a week for 3 hours at a time, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. Like, we wiped last night on Spirit Kings for like 2 hours, but I wasn't angry.
It's progression that doesn't feel like work, it's progression that feels like play.
Yeah, like I face pulled and wiped the raid, and no one's, everyone was like, Bella? I went, well, I was just trying to get back in position. I didn't realize that he was there. You know, it's all about having fun. And I guess that's why I consider myself a casual raider, because, well, a casual gamer plus raider. I don't know, a crater? No, that doesn't sound right. I don't know, but because I'm not like hardcore, like I must raid.
I can relate to where you're coming from. I used to be kind of in a similar space, and I would term myself as hard casual. I'm not as hard casual as I used to be anymore, just because a number of different reasons, time, podcast scheduling and stuff. So I'm a bit more of a casual player now, but I would say during Lich King and Cataclysm, I was hard casual. And that kind of, as far as my definition of hard casual, that's how I'd put you. Epic, how about you? How do you approach World of Warcraft? What's your whole take and approach on the game?
Well, I used to be extremely hardcore. I used to raid top U.S. skilled over on U.S. lane. We were server first everything. I think we were top 200 in the world at the time. I was doing 25 mans twice a week on 2 characters. We were required to keep an alt cured as well as our main. But I've kind of taken a step back, like some other people, and just kind of, you know, I play a little bit more casual. I refer to myself as casually hardcore because I don't really do anything casual. My name is Epic Insanity for a reason. I do everything to an insane level. I don't settle for second best. I do, even my blog, you know, I try to be the best I can be in everything. But my guild, Relentless Aggression, is only 10 of 16 regular. We just got Windlord down Wednesday night. Oh, I couldn't even think what day it was. So we're a little bit behind in the tier, but we're excited for 5.2 and we're excited to push. I do everything to the extreme. If it's pet battling, if it's leveling alts, if it's professions. I have every profession maxed right now in Mists of Pandaria. I have not as many pets as I would like. I only have like just, I think, just shy of 350 right now. But I'm working on...
How many are capped at 25?
I think I have 20 pets right now at 25, a bunch that are sitting like above 20. I just, it's hard for me to do that when I am a GM of a guild. So I do spend a lot of time trying to recruit, trying to work on things for the guild, prepping. We're actually launching a huge recruitment coming up in the next couple weeks. So getting people in place to help me out with that. So it's been rough. It's been an adventure. I'm loving every day of it, but I bring the hardcore perspective, but also I know where the casuals come from, the extreme casuals, you know, the player that plays once a week. Some of my friends play once a month, you know, it's like, but it's that whole debate, which could go on forever. The difference between casual and hardcore, and you know, it's just, it's hard because we try to consider ourselves casual, but to the super casual player, we're still extremely, extremely, extremely hardcore. But we try not to bring that elitist attitude. I don't try to yell at people and call them noobs. You know, I might whisper them that, but I don't like to publicly announce it. But we just, you know, we joke around, have fun. And that's like even what Bella was saying too. Even in raids, you know, we face pull, we make a mistake. We're just trying to have fun and laugh it off. And, you know, even if it gets to the point where we are a little high strung, 5 minute break, let's go step away from our computers, take a breath, come back, and let's kill the boss. You know, like, we still stay focused, but we still want to have fun while we're playing the game.
Epic, could you tell folks, if they want to find the show, if they haven't heard the show before, where can they find you guys as far as the website, the show, Twitter? How can they ask their own Epic questions?
You can find us pretty much everywhere on the internet. The best place to find all of everything going on with the show is over at epicquestionspodcast.com. You can submit questions via Twitter in the comments to the show notes. You can send them to our email, which is currently epicquestionspodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at @epic_questions. And you can find myself over at @epic_insanity. And Bella, I believe, is over @@the_Elizabella. Questions can be submitted any way possible. We're always looking for questions. We're always looking for anything related to WoW, even if it's silly or serious. So,
all right. Well, once again, Bella, Epic, thank you very much for being on the show, and I hope you guys have a very epic run with your podcast.
Aw, thanks, Ro.
Thank you so much for having us on.
And after this clip from Epic Questions, I'll be back with podcast news.
You are listening to the Epic Questions Podcast with your hosts, Elizabella and Epic Insanity. Epic questions.
Yes, this next question is submitted by Root from the Hearthcast. Woo, Hearthcast. We love you, Hearthcast. Are there primary professions that are better suited for particular classes?
Yeah, I was going to say some professions benefit specific classes. They also benefit player styles and longevity of a player. So, for example, like as a new player, picking up a profession like tailoring on a mage is awesome because you're always going to be getting free cloth as you go. So you don't have to spend time learning how to go out and mine something or pick flowers. You know, you can just, as you quest and as you run dungeons, you can just focus on the content instead of focusing on having to run around and collect things. The other thing, like, for example, a lot of people that do pick up tailoring are clothies, and the other great profession to go with tailors is enchanting, because you're just making a bunch of cloth stuff and disenchanting it and then cycling the mats right back into it. Because that resource is the cloth, it works out great. For veterans, it gets a little bit more wishy-washy. Veterans can pretty much do anything they want, but there are still some great, great class combinations out there. I know later on we'll talk about this, actually. I think it's our next question. Leatherworking. Leatherworking is great for all of your leather-wearing classes, rogues, hunters in the beginning, shaman, all that stuff. It's great because you can make gear that you can use and move on with. But yeah, I was going to say, like, the biggest thing is it depends on the playstyle. I know I specifically min-max, so I go straight to what's best for my class. But granted, my My paladin is a miner and an inscription or a scribe. So it doesn't really match too well, but that's just because those are the only two professions I didn't have maxed.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Epic. I also, you know, think that what I did with my professions as I was leveling was I made a few mistakes along the way. But who doesn't, right? You know, tailoring is good for clothies, leatherworking good for leather wearers, blacksmithing good for plate wearers, you know, the obvious ones. It's probably not well advised to have a hunter who wears leather and to be a tailor. Yeah, I did that and then had to start over. Yeah. But, you know, each profession has their own little specialty for everything, like for int and stam and spirit and things like that. But on my DK, I'm a miner and a jewel crafter, primarily so that I can mine up a bunch of ore. And if I don't want to prospect it, I will pass it off or sell it or do something, have it transmuted or, you know, made into bars or whatnot. And then I'll make myself amazing strength gems.
He fences with both hands behind his back. He podcasts, but never opens his mouth. Blizzard named their downtime after his show. He won a Magic the Gathering tournament with Uno cards. For him, the princess was in the first castle.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I prefer Raw Maintenance.
This is Seraphist, Ray, and Zia from the Sundering Podcast, and you are listening to Realm Maintenance.
Keep downloading, my friends.
Thanks again to Epic and Elizabella for being on the show this week. There were plenty more questions asked, and you can hear them on the extended version of this interview, which will be available on realm-maintenance.com later in the week. Let's move on to podcast news. Just when you thought Patch 5.2 developer interviews were over, there's a few more on the way. In the coming days, Ghostcrawler will be interviewed by MMORPG.com, Twizcast, and the Call to Auction podcast. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's worth noting that Twiz is taking questions from the community, and you can email your questions for Ghostcrawler to twizcast@gmail.com. You can find these interviews when they become available on MMORPG.com, Twizcast.com, and calltoauction.blogspot.com. Most of the United States may have turned their clocks ahead, but not Arizona. As a result, the hosts of Arcanum of Azeroth Roundtable now livestream the recording of their show on Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. On episode 19, Salem rejoins the roundtable for a week, and Medros from All Things Azeroth also takes a seat to talk about 5.2. Find this show at arcanumofazeroth.com. On episode 19 of 30 Minute Cooldown, Eric and Katie give their first impressions of 5.2, Katie talks Eric off a ledge, and a listener proposes a new profession. Find this show on iTunes or 30minutecooldown.com. Looking for a little more news than what I give you in 80 seconds? Well, then check out the Azeroth Perspective, a 15-minute podcast that covers all Blizzard franchise news. With Heart of the Swarm releasing today, it's as good a time as any to introduce yourself to episode 37 of this short but sweet podcast, which can be found at theazerothperspective.com. On episode 34 of The Training Dummies, Hendlove quickly turns into Anne Love as the boys have an epic Q&A session with the Queen of Lore herself, Anne Stickney from WoW Insider. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you might even get uncomfortable. From Garrosh being a jerk, to PvP, to Rathion's scandalous agenda, you don't want to miss this story-filled extravaganza. Find this show at thetrainingdummies.com. The G-Chat podcast extends a welcome to Reynari from the Guild Obsessed as a new co-host. Find Reynari, aka Joe, along with Bill and Richard on episode 30, which can be found at gchatpodcast.com. On episode 87 of the Grand Old Podcast, Sayomara interviews Pride from But Wait, There's Lore. During the interview, Pride talks about the end of WoW Radio, finding out at BlizzCon 2009, and the meeting with Athalus that would lead to Athalus becoming CEO of OMFG.fm. If you've listened to WoW podcasting for years, this is a show not to miss. Find it at grandoldpodcast.com. The Bound Guild on the US Staghelm server is now the Bound Guild on the US Zol'Jin server. Stompalina and Hafrot talk about the relocation of their guild on episode 191 of Rarcast. Find this show at rarcast.com and catch Stomp and Half when they guest host on episode 336 of All Things Azeroth, which you can find at allthingsazeroth.com. The hosts on Group Quest welcomed Lignar and Medicakes of Epic Podcast on to talk about patch 5.2 reactions, raids, gearing, and more in the episode titled We Came, We Saw, We Dailied, and Liked It. Download this show at thegroupquest.com. Root and Freckleface talk about World of Warcraft dailies in the Mists of Pandaria on episode 159 of Hearthcast. The two go into the benefits and rewards of doing dailies and give some helpful tips on how to best handle the amount of dailies MOP is providing. Find this podcast for the casual World of Warcraft player at Hearthcast.com. In other Ego Network podcast news, two WoW podcasts are joining the network. Azeroth Pirate Radio is a podcast about playing WoW and making time for real life. Episode 0 of this new show can be found on iTunes and should be available on Stitcher soon. Find Azeroth Pirate Radio at azerothpirateradio.com. The second new show to Ego Networks is one that's been around for a while. Seraphis, Rafist, and Zia are bringing the Sundering to Ego while remaining connected to the Geekhole community of podcasts. You can hear more about this change on episode 122 of The Sundering at thesundering.net. WoW podcast enthusiast and current interim Chaos Portal co-host SoCal WowGal has taken the first steps into a solo podcast project of her own. Learn about the WoW Life Coach podcast on the introductory episode, which can be found on her blog at SoCalWowGal.com. Congratulations to the WoW Uncensored podcast on reaching 25 episodes. Find this explicit podcast, including plenty of karaoke, at WoWUncensoredShow.podomatic.com. Torin Think Tank welcomes special guest Nick Yee for episode 44 this week. Nick works for Ubisoft as a research scientist specializing in social interaction and self-representation in virtual environments. Nick talked to Rem and Jules about gender roles in games, how online relationships differ from relationships outside the game, and much more. Find this very educational episode at torinthinktank.com. And that brings us to some shameless plug time. Even with all the rare camping I did the past week, that didn't stop me from being a guest co-host on Something Suggestive. Jan and I talk about 5.2 while playing 5.2. Find episode 44 of this explicit podcast on somethingsuggestive.com. And finally, there's a full table on episode 192 of the Twisted Nether blogcast. Finless and Hydra welcome Amy Jade from Warlockery, Navimi from the Daily Frostwolf, Sunnier of Sunnier's Art of War, and myself to talk about patch 5.2. Find this show when it's available at twistednether.net.
The WoW Podcast subreddit keeps up-to-date links on all the major World of Warcraft podcasts. It's your one-stop shop to find out all the latest and greatest WoW podcasts. Get caught up with your favorite shows and discover shows you didn't even know existed. If it's about WoW, it's on the WoW Podcast subreddit. Find out what all the excitement is about by visiting reddit.com/r/WoWPodcasts.
Like many warlocks out there, I spent the better part of last week trying to farm rares to get a chance at the tome drop for the start of the Greenfire quest chain. And like some of those warlocks, I have given up that quest, at least for the time being. I've killed about 140 rares, and I've actually seen the tome drop, but I haven't had a chance to loot it. And that's because the tome is a free-for-all item that can be looted by any warlock. The first warlock that basically clicks on the corpse and loots it wins. Now, that's kind of a bummer in and of itself, but the fact that the body can also be loot-bugged when everyone's dogpiling on the body to try to loot the other stuff off of it makes it even more infuriating and more frustrating. Given that these rares are shared by everyone who has a chance to fight it, wouldn't you think that these rares should be treated like raid finder bosses or like world bosses as far as loot goes, and that a toast would pop up with the chance of you winning an item or just simply winning gold? I really don't understand Blizzard's implementation of the whole shared loot system, and then contradicting that system by putting a single free-for-all item for warlocks on it as well. It's just kind of confusing, and until things get straightened out, I'm not going to frustrate myself by trying to pursue Green Fire. For those of you that have received the tome, congratulations and good luck on the quest. The last boss is very hard, and plenty of people are crying about the difficulty of that boss, though personally I don't have a problem with having a difficult boss for such a rare thing.
There's a lot of good content that was put into the game with patch 5.2, and by trying to farm this green tome, all I've done is ruin my first week and ruin my fun when it comes to experiencing all this new content. So I'm going to take a break from farming the tome for a while, and I suggest that those of you who are just as frustrated as I am do the same. Check out some other stuff to have fun with. Get yourself some better gear, try out Raid Finder, go to the Isle of Giants, hunt some dinosaurs. Just do something to take your minds off of the Green Fire Tome. We haven't had it for months and years, and it may be a little while longer before Blizzard makes the proper changes to the looting mechanics so that farming the tome isn't as much of a pain in the butt as it has been this past week. Now that's going to be the end of my rant for now, but if you want to hear me rant about this for several minutes, go ahead and check out this week's episode of All Things Azeroth. I'm sure you'll hear a mouthful. And that Sound Ninja update is complete. It's time to press the play button and get back to stage 2 of the Isle of Thunder. And hey, if you're on Earth and Ring and have a spare sealed lost tome of the Legion on ya, feel free to send it my way. Okay, I'm kidding. Mostly. Thanks to Danilian for leaving your 5-star review on iTunes. Feel free to leave your review of the show there whenever you can. Whether it's 5-star, 4-star, or otherwise, I'll give you a shout-out on the show. Realm Maintenance can also be found on Stitcher Radio, so be sure to thumbs up the show this week if you like what you're hearing. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or a commercial to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast, or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, My Epic Heels turns 50, and I'll have a chance to interview some of the hosts from the show. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. Realm Maintenance is a World of Warcraft podcast by Ro, copyright 2013. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Epic Insanity and Elizabella for being on the show this week. Thanks to Jan for editing this show, and thanks to you for listening. Realm Maintenance is sponsored and hosted by Safeshark Hosting. With affordable plans starting as low as $8 a month, Safeshark Hosting will work with you to seamlessly transfer your current blog or podcast site or start up a new one. The customer service is great, and Realm Maintenance is a very satisfied user of their services. Hosting doesn't have to bite. Go to SafeSharkHosting.com to learn more about the services offered. There are plenty of fish in the sea, but there's only one Safeshark. Follow Safeshark Hosting on Twitter @SafeSharkHost.